You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert.
It's time for a weekly state news roundup with WPR's assistant director, Noah Ovshinsky. Today, we're looking at the results for this week's Marquette poll and what it says about the governor's race and the race for attorney general. And new numbers on state revenue are in. We'll find out what both sides have to say.
WPR's assistant news director, Noah Ovshinsky, is back with us. Happy Friday, Noah.
It is good to be here, and happy Friday right back at you.
So we're looking to head into fall, starting to pick up steam on the elections. And of course, we've got some new numbers to talk about. This is what we love to talk about as we lead up to elections. Polls, the new Marquette poll. And we're going to start with the new results on Mary Burke and Governor Walker. What did they say?
Well, basically it is a very tight governor's race. In fact, it's basically a dead heat. If you dig into the numbers a bit, among those likely to vote in the election, 49% say they will vote for Burke, 47% for Walker. So Burke a little bit ahead of Walker there in those likely to vote, although that's inside the margin of error with the poll. Among registered voters, Walker has a slight advantage with 47% of respondents saying they would vote for him. Burke comes in at 44%. Again, they're coming within the margin of error. So what we have here is a very tight race.
Now, we hear from people who say, quit talking about the polls. That's horse race stuff. But are there any takeaways from this?
Well, I mean, I think it's interesting because of the sheer closeness of the numbers. The other interesting thing here is it shows that things really haven't changed since the last poll. And what that tells us is, especially on the campaign side of things, that, neither side has done a lot to change the calculus here. Because as far as the negative ads and those ads that are attacking either or, that they're not really catching on as far as, the residents of Wisconsin are concerned.
Do we have any more insight in who is undecided, how big that tiny little piece of the pie is about people who might be able to be changed one way or the other?
Yeah, there aren't a lot of people. I mean, people's opinions are very set when it comes to Governor Walker. People either like him or they hate him. His poll numbers, favorability numbers haven't really changed at all, really, in the last few years. Mary Burke, however, has seen her favorability increase. Now, she was a relative unknown a year ago, so you would expect favorability to increase. More and more people get to know her, so it's not surprising that that number is going up. But how many people turn out really this November is going to determine who's going to win this race. I mean, who can really mobilize the grassroots to get on the ground and get it done for their campaign.
So, and speaking of turnout, traditionally more Republicans, I gather, than Democrats turn out at midterm elections. Do we have reason to think that that could be different this year?
Well, that is the conventional wisdom. But this poll, as well as the previous one, indicate more Democrats than Republicans said they were certain to vote. Of course, all that being said, what respondents say during the survey may be different than, what happens in November, obviously. What they say on a phone call may be different than the actual voting booth. But that does show that that Democrats, at least based on this poll, are eager to vote in November, which is, for Mary Burke, a good thing.
Now, the Marquette poll also took into account another race, the attorney general race. Walk us through that one.
Right. So I thought there was another interesting takeaway from the latest Marquette poll, and it is the attorney general's race. At least right now, things are pretty heavily favoring Democrat Susan Happ, who is the Jefferson County District Attorney. She leads Brad Schimmel by 7 percentage points, 40% to 33%. So quite a lead here just a week or more after the primary.
Now, with Happ well in the lead, is that likely to stick through November? Do we have any sort of, you're not a betting man.
Yeah.
I know this about you, Noah. We tried to make you, but what do you think?
I mean, this poll is good news for Happ, obviously. I mean, it's better than being behind. But the poll revealed 24% of respondents were undecided or didn't know who they would vote for. So there is a lot of room for this election to go in either direction. And it will really be up to the candidates, frankly, to boost their own profile and really define their opponent, probably by attacking them, either, in campaign appearances or on the air. But there is quite a bit of wiggle room left in that race. But it is interesting that at least at this point, Happ has a pretty substantial lead over Schimmel.
Now, you've seen a few election cycles come and go. Does this one look especially exciting to you based on, you know, certainly the governor's race, the dead heat there, but other races as well?
Yeah, what I think will be interesting, especially the connection between the governor's race and the attorney general's race, will, if there's excitement with Mary Burke, will that help her, Susan Happ? Because, you know, people tend to, you know, vote for one party. So, you know, there is a chance that any mobilization efforts that will help in the governor's race may have the side effect of helping Susan Happ, at least on the Democratic side of things.
Uh-huh. So a bit of a relation there that could play out. We don't know how, but it could be something to watch.
Yeah, we'll see.
So now in other state news, we've got some new numbers out about revenue for the state last year, and revenue is down.
Right. So these are the revenue estimates, and they were just released yesterday, I believe. And these are revenue estimates for the past year. And what they showed is that the state is $281 million short, which means, assuming nothing changes, you know, whether the state gets more revenue or something, the state could be $115 million in the red at the end of next year.
Now, can you put that number in context for us? In terms of a $281 million shortfall, how significant is that when you take a look at the entire state budget?
Well, there's really two answers. If you look at the larger state budget, it's a fraction. That said, this is an election year, which means that $281 million is important because, you know, each side is arguing, you know, day in and day out that their candidate will be a better steward of the state's finances. So obviously this news, certainly affects how people may view either candidate.
Now, theoretically, when would the state start feeling the squeeze from those numbers?
Oh, you know, that's a good question. Really, it all depends on what happens between now and then. Again, these are revenue estimates. So, you know, if revenue goes up more than expected, then that will certainly change. Now, the situation could get worse. Say revenue goes down. That will also affect the financial situation. So it's a little soon to tell what effect this will have next year financially. So right now it's more of a political issue than a financial one.
Now, in terms of how this is being sort of digested by Democrats and Republicans, you've got Democrats looking at the tax cuts, Republicans saying, hey, but sales tax revenue is looking good. How is this being, you know, processed so far?
Right. Well, so again, Mary Burke has sort of seized on this news. And the governor has basically said, look, you know, it's early. These are projections. And he is confident that through any combination of measures, they'll be able to make sure that the budget comes out in the black, either because those projected revenues will increase, maybe potential cuts. The governor has also suggested that he may be willing to dip into the rainy day fund, the state's rainy day fund, in order to end in the black. So again, early to tell what's going to happen, but at least this points in the direction of some financial decisions probably have to be made, you know, next year.
I'm safe bet we're going to hear more about this in the campaigns as they unfold for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, we're going to move on to something happening out of state, but the challenge to Wisconsin's gay marriage ban kept on going this week in a Chicago court. So I set the scene there.
Right. So a 3-judge panel of the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago heard the challenge to Wisconsin's gay marriage ban earlier this week. And of course, this is the next level for the lawsuit. And from all indications, the lawyers defending the ban had a rough time of it. All three judges, but especially Judge Richard Posner, was quite combative. When lawyers for the state suggested gay marriage bans, they preserve the tradition of marriage. Judge Posner was quick to challenge the assertion. He said it was a tradition of Western culture and one based in experience. And he went even further, saying it was a tradition really based on hate, this idea of a gay marriage ban.
And he also had some more to say. I mean, he was, of the three judges, it seems like he was the most outspoken. He gave, what he heard the roughest time. But what else did he say?
Yeah, I mean, basically the judge, Posner, he said, you know, tradition isn't enough of a reason to sustain a law. And to clearly illustrate his point, he pointed out the fact that it was once illegal for two people of different races to marry, that at one point that was tradition. And, you know, that has, of course, since been reversed and challenged. So clearly for him, tradition isn't enough to sustain a law that at least he, you know, likely sees as bad.
Any sense on the future of this or when the Supreme Court might have a hand in this case or another?
Yeah. So, you know, it's really unclear when a ruling will come down, but there is a good chance this case or another like it is going to make its way through the federal appeals process and will be taken up by the Supreme Court eventually. A few appeals courts in other districts around the country have already weighed in on gay marriage bans, and all of them have struck them down. But at the end of the day, it's unclear which one of these cases that the Supreme Court will ultimately take up. And only time will tell with that.
All right. Well, we're going to keep watching that and the rest of the country watching that as well to see which one of these winds its way to the Supreme Court. Ultimately, maybe Wisconsin, may not be. Now, to look at another story that was much talked about this week, the Kenosha, the proposed Kenosha Casino. What have we seen there this week?
Right. So this is a debate that's been ongoing now. The Menominee wanted to build a casino in Kenosha, and there are a few tribes, especially the Potawatomi, who don't want them to build a casino because they have a facility in Milwaukee, and they fear that if the Menominee build their own casino in Kenosha, that will hurt their business in Milwaukee. And the governor's decision right now, it's basically his call. The federal government has signed off on it, and it's up to the governor to decide whether or not to greenlight this casino. And because of this sort of dispute, the Potawatomi is withholding something like $25 million in revenue payments to the state over this dispute. So, again, this thing has sort of been simmering now for a year or more. And now it's really, I would say, not quite a boil, but certainly hotter than it was in recent months.
Definitely raises the stakes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're talking about real money, $25 million. Again, we're talking about, you know, this story the same week that the state is saying that they're, you know, something like what did we say, $219 million, you know, potentially projected, you know, in the red.
Well, Noah, thanks a lot for coming by and have a great weekend.
It was good to be here. Thanks.
That was Noah Ovshinsky stopping by for our state news roundup, and he'll be back next week at this time for the same. Noah Ovshinsky is Wisconsin Public Radio's assistant news director.
I'm Rob Ferrett.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.